sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. This is Messages on Demand.
And thank you for joining us today on Messages on Demand. You know, we hear a lot of people discussing the fact, does God exist? Does God exist? And there are different programs that you might see on television or things you might see on the internet or read in the newspaper talking about the fact, does God exist? Well, we want to discuss that a little bit today. And the subject, Here Am I, Lord. Here am I. First of all, let me say that all you have to do to know that there is a God is to look around you. Think about it. You know, where I live, I'm a few minutes away from what most people would consider countryside. And you can go out and drive through that area and you can see all of God's creation out there, the trees, the plants, the animals, all of these things that exist. And I don't care what some supposedly intelligent people say that, this just all happened, you know, just one day there was this big bang and suddenly it was all there. I want you to think about it. Think about your own body for a minute. How intricately designed your body is. How these thousands of parts, you might say, in your body function together to cause you to be the person that you are and to help you to be the person that you are. I'm just amazed sometimes as I just watch various events that go on around us and watch some of the animals and how things exist with them. I tell you, I cannot help but believe there is a God. Folks, it didn't just one day happen. It happened when God said that it's going to happen. But part of our problem today is that we want to leave God out in the cold. We kind of want to leave God out of our lives. We don't want to have anything to do with God. We want to keep Him as far out of sight and mind as we can. Unless, of course, something happens that we need Him. And then, of course, we are quick to cry out to God. And I remember back 15 years ago when in this country the event that we refer to as 9/11 happened and how people cried out to God and called upon God. But in just a few short weeks' time, things seemed to be returning to normal and they were no longer calling out upon God. They were no longer seeking God. They had forgotten about God again. They didn't need Him at the moment. The Bible in the book of Genesis tells us the story of creation. And of course, it's extremely condensed. I will tell you that. But here it talks about the first man and the first woman and how they had had a relationship with God unlike any that we that exist today have ever had. The Bible tells us the day came that they disobeyed the command of God and they fell into sin. And suddenly it tells us in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Another translation says the evening breeze. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. They had such a relationship with God that He walked with them on a daily basis. In the cool of the day, the evening, he came and he walked with them, talked with them. We have no idea of what their conversations might have been like, but I just can't help but believe that had to be the most fantastic experience that you could ever think about. But they fell into sin. They decided that they did not have to obey just the one commandment that God had given them. They fell into disobedience. Basically, the story tells us that God's walking in the garden and he's saying, Adam, Eve, where are you? And I'm going to tell you this, God knew exactly where they were at. He was just giving them a chance to answer. And if you go ahead and you read the rest of the story, they kind of sheepishly come out, kind of admit to what's happened, and it goes on from there. But they walked with God on a daily basis. The Bible also tells us in chapter 22 of Genesis, verse 1, and it says, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. Here am I, Lord. What do you want? I'm here. I'm ready. Well, of course, if you go ahead and you read the rest of the story there, you find that God spoke to Abraham, and he was putting Abraham to a test here. Because he'd made some big promises to Abraham, told him that he was going to make his seed as the sands of the sea, as the stars of the sky. Yet Abraham had not one child at the time that God spoke those promises to him. And now he finally has this son, Isaac, the promised son. And God comes to him and says, Abraham, and he says, Abraham says, Here I am. And he says, Abraham, I want you to take Isaac, and I want you to sacrifice him. Can you imagine being asked that? Well, that's what happened. So, if you go ahead and you read the rest of the chapter there, you find that he does take Isaac on the mountain to sacrifice him. He even speaks to Isaac, and Isaac again replies, Here I am. You know, that's the thing that we need to have in a relationship with God is when God speaks to us to say, Here I am. Here I am, Lord. What do you want of me? What can I do for you? Now, I know it's hard to think sometimes that we have the omniscient, almighty God and that there are things that we can do for him. But there are things that he calls us. Yes, you and me. Sometimes you might think of it even as little or insignificant. Me. He calls you to do something for him. He wants you to do something for him. And then, of course, the Bible tells us of a child by the name of Samuel. And a little refresher on the story, Samuel's mother had prayed for a child for many years. And finally, God answers her prayers. He gives her a child. A child whom she has said that she would dedicate to the service of the Lord. And when Samuel was of certain age, she took him to live in the temple. And there the Bible tells us, as a child, he was ministering to the Lord under the high priest Eli. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, it says, And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And that was when Samuel first heard God speaking to him, just a child, but God spoke to him. And it tells us this story in 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning with verse 3, and it says, Ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. But listen now. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, and this is Eli speaking, and he said, I call not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. Now sometimes we may hear the voice of God, as Samuel did, calling us. And maybe we don't quite understand right then, but Samuel had answered. He went to Eli because he thought it was Eli. But let's skip down to verse 8. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. Can you imagine here? Samuel has heard the voice of God three times calling him. He's got up three times and he went into Eli, and he's basically saying, maybe in his little mind, Eli, I know you called me. Why are you messing with me here? I heard you call. But he goes on now and says, And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Eli gives him instruction. In verse 10 it says, And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. The three times before he had answered, Here am I. But under the instructions of Eli, he replied to God as God called him and said, Speak, for thy servant heareth. How many times has it been possible that God may have spoken to us? God may have called you, and you heard his voice, but you didn't know what to do. You didn't know how to respond, just maybe as Samuel didn't quite know how to respond here. Maybe when we hear God calling, we ought to say, Speak, for thy servant heareth. Then, of course, there was the prophet Isaiah, who had a vision of the Lord's glory. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, it says, In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Can you imagine that? God, he sees God sitting upon a throne. Oh, what an amazing thing it must have been to see God sitting upon that throne, high and lifted up. And he goes on then in verse 8, and he says, Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And this, folks, is how we ought to reply when God speaks to our hearts and when God calls us. It says, and Isaiah answering here, Then said I, Here am I, send me. That's how we need to answer when God calls us. When God speaks to our heart, Here am I, Lord. Send me. Oh, send me, Lord. Oh, can you just imagine? I tell you, I get, you know, just goosebumps running through my body here as I think about this, being in the presence of the Lord as Isaiah was, and being able to speak out, Here am I, Lord. Send me. Maybe sometimes when we pray and we seek out God, and maybe we haven't heard the voice of God yet, but maybe we need to say, God, I'm here, I'm available. Use me. Use me. And of course, Isaiah is known as one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament, giving some great prophecy of the coming of Messiah, Jesus, who was born in Bethlehem, the one who died on the cross for our salvation. Isaiah gives prophecy of him. God used Isaiah because he had responded, Here am I, send me. In the New Testament, we read about a man by the name of Saul, and we first find Saul in the New Testament events in the book of Acts. We find that he is what you might call a holy terror. He thinks he's holy. He thinks he's a holy man. But he is wreaking terror upon God's people. He is seeking out to destroy the children of God. He is seeking out to destroy those who are following Jesus Christ. He's seeking out to destroy those who preach the cross. He's seeking out to destroy those who preach the resurrection. He's seeking to destroy all of these things. And in fact, in one portion of Scripture where we're first introduced, we find him standing at the literal execution of one of the first deacons of the early church, a man by the name of Stephen. And in that encounter, it tells us Saul is holding the coats, basically, of those that are stoning Stephen to death. And we find that it goes on, and Saul is on his way to Damascus, and he's seeking out to destroy Christians wherever he can find them. And in Acts chapter 9, verse 10, it says, "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias." And let me back up just a moment here before we get into this, because Saul's been on his way to Damascus here, and he's had this encounter on the way to Damascus. He's had the great light shine around him. He's heard Jesus speaking to him. It says, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Why do you kick against the pricks," it says in the King James. In other versions, it says the goads. It's something they use to prod cattle with. "Why do you kick at me against these things? Why are you persecuting me, basically, Saul? Why?" And Saul, in that encounter, he finds Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. But it tells us at that encounter he is left blind. He's taken on into Damascus, where he is to meet a man that God will send to him. And then we join it in Acts chapter 9, verse 10. "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, 'Ananias.' And he said, 'Behold, I am here, Lord.'" You know, I've noticed this a common thread when God was speaking to people in the Old Testament. We find it this time in the New Testament. God speaks. He responds, "Here am I, Lord," or "I am here, Lord. I'm ready. I'm available." Now, God began to share with Ananias what he wanted him to do. And quite frankly, if you read the scripture and you read the rest of that chapter, you find out that Ananias was not too awfully thrilled with what God wanted him to do. God says, "You go down here on this street called Straight, you'll find this man named Saul, and you're going to pray for him. He's blind. You're going to pray for him. He's going to be healed. You're going to share some things with him." And Ananias says, "Hey, Lord, I've heard of this guy named Saul. Man, I'm scared of him, basically. He's out to kill the Christians. Are you sure you want me to go there? Are you sure what you want me to have anything to do with him?" He might have thought those things, but you know what? Ananias had said, "Behold, I am here, Lord." He got off of his chair, his stool, whatever he was at, and he headed down to the place that God told him to go. And there he went in and he spoke with this man named Saul. And when they left, he left a changed man as well as Saul leaving a changed man. Of course, we find Saul's name is changed to Paul, and he goes on to become probably the best known of all the apostles as far as his writings and so on and his ministry. Great man of God and great in spreading the gospel in the early church. This was a man that had sought to destroy those who followed Jesus Christ, now a follower himself. But God got a hold of his life. And this man named Ananias, who wasn't too thrilled, I don't think, about going down and laying hands on Saul at this point in time, was obedient to the voice of God and says, "God, here I am." And he went down and did what God spoke to his heart to do. And the rest, as some would say, is history. Well, I've shared with you a few instances from God's holy word where he communicated with man. And some will ask, does God still speak to men today? You see, some have become discouraged because they heard someone say, "And God told me to tell you," or "Thus saith the Lord." And then some occurrence or event that they talked about never happened. You know, I've had that happen to me. I've had somebody come up and supposedly give me a personal prophecy. And I'm not saying personal prophecy is wrong. I don't want you to misunderstand me on that. But there are some people who do it sometimes in the flesh, unfortunately. About what God was going to do in my life, and my life never went anywhere near that direction. Now, I could have been let down, because he told me I was going to pastor a church in Hollywood, California, and that could have been prestigious. Never happened. I never preached in Hollywood, California, period, my entire life. And some people say, well, you know, I don't know that God really speaks to people today. I don't know that any of this stuff happens today. Maybe that was fine for Bible days. Maybe it was fine for times past. But does it really happen today? Does God still speak to people today? My question is, have you heard God speak to you? Sometimes maybe we have heard God speak to us, and maybe we're like Samuel. Maybe we didn't understand it was God speaking to us. I've heard God speak to me. And I'll tell you, some of the times when God spoke to me, I wasn't quite certain. And other times when God spoke to me, I knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that it was God speaking to my heart. I remember a little over 4 years ago sitting in a hospital room, not really knowing if I was ever going to leave that hospital alive. And things that were going on in the church and problems that we were facing, decisions that we had to make and the turmoil that was going on in my spirit. And I remember God speaking to me and saying, "My precious, precious child." Oh, I tell you, when I heard those words, it was just like time and space were suspended for a moment. Because God was speaking to me. I knew it was God. I knew it was Him beyond any shadow of a doubt. God was speaking to me. Sometimes when God speaks to us, well, we hear Him and we run. The Bible tells us about that. In the book of Jonah, in the Old Testament, one of the what we call the minor prophets, God spoke to Jonah, and what did he do? Well, he didn't say, "Here I am." No, in fact, in Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, we find that the minute God spoke to Jonah and says, "Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. I want you to preach to those people, because if they don't turn to me, I'm going to destroy them." And Jonah, I don't know if he took time to pack his bags or what, but the Bible tells us he began to head the other way. He headed the opposite direction, basically. He was going to go as far away from Nineveh as he could go. He didn't want to go there. Quite frankly, I don't think he liked those people because they were not friends of God's people. And yet God had said, "If you go preach to them, I'll save them." Well, if you go ahead and you read the rest of the book, you find that Jonah, after his little experience with the great fish that God specifically prepared for him, he goes to Nineveh, he preaches. Basically, he just goes in and says, "Repent." The Bible tells us they repented, they turned to God, and they were spared. And Jonah was really a little upset about it, if you go ahead and read the entire book. We need to say, "Here am I." And we need to be obedient. And I know sometimes we run because we don't want to do what God is asking us to do, just like Jonah. Sometimes we run because we're afraid of what's going to take place. And sometimes we run, but we just need guidance, really. Maybe we need God to send someone else to speak to our heart and give us some guidance. Thinking back to Samuel a minute, Samuel got up 3 times in the middle of the night. He'd heard God calling. He didn't know exactly how to respond. He goes into Eli and says, "Here am I. I heard you call." And it wasn't Eli. But I believe God spoke to Eli then on that third occasion and says, "Tell the boy to do this." Because Eli then spoke to Samuel and said, "Just say, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." Well, he heard God's call again that fourth time, and he responded, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." My question to you today is God speaking to you? Have you heard God speak to you? Has God spoken to you in an audible voice? And for most people, the answer to that last question is no. Most of the time, God does not speak to us in an audible voice, a voice that other people can hear. Because if we go back a minute to the story of Saul on the road to Damascus, when God spoke to him, when Jesus spoke to him there, they didn't see him, but those who were around Saul not only heard him, but those that were with him heard the voice speak to him. But most of the time when God speaks to our heart, he speaks to us the way that the prophet Elijah said. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 12, and it says, "And after the earthquake of fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still, small voice." That still, small voice is 90%, I believe, of the way that God speaks to people today. We hear that still, small voice speaking in our heart. And when we know it's God speaking to us, we need to reply, "Here am I." Maybe he's speaking to your heart and you're not in a place where you can raise your hands and worship. Close your eyes. And please, if you're driving while you're listening to this, don't raise your hands. Don't close your eyes. But if you are in a place where you can and you hear God speaking, do that. Respond, "Here am I, Lord. Here am I." Speak. Your servant hears you. And what is he asking of you? Well, first of all, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to know he's calling you to repentance. He's calling you to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior today. He's calling you to ask him into your heart. And if you're already a Christian and you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, maybe he's calling you to a task that he wants you to do. And sometimes it may be that task that you've been building toward your entire life. God's been preparing you for it. God's been getting you ready to put you in that time, at that place, just as he did Esther in the book of Esther, put her in that place at that time that the Jewish people were saved from death. God is speaking to hearts today. He still speaks today. He still talks to people today. He still asks you to do things for him. The question is, when God speaks, will we answer? Will we say, "Here am I, Lord"? And Father, today as we close out this message, I just pray that there are those that, first of all, those that have never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I believe, Father, right now the Holy Spirit is speaking to hearts and lives. I don't know where this message is being heard at what particular time it's being heard at, but maybe now is the time, the place that someone, the Holy Spirit is speaking to their heart, calling them to repentance. And I pray, Father, that they will yield to the wooing of the Holy Spirit and answer, "Here am I, Lord, save me." Or maybe you're calling someone to a task, and I pray, Fathers, you speak to their heart. They will answer, "Here am I, send me. Send me."
You have been listening to Messages on Demand. If you have been blessed by this message, please let us know. You may contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us. Again, that's pastor@tlhf.us. Or by clicking on the Contact Us button on the homepage of our website, www.tlhf.us. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production, a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship.